Hey, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Pre-IPO Stocks podcast. With me, I got Nick Fusco, CEO of 8View, a pre-IPO secondary market pricing company, and Clint Sorensen, Chief Investment Officer at WellShield, an outsourced CIO and investment research company. All right, fellas, got a couple topics today. First is Stripe. So Stripe came out with their kind of 2023 newsletter, right? They also just did a tender round in February here at $65 billion valuation, right? PitchBook has them at $14 billion in revenue in 2023. With this latest report they just published, they said their payment volume, Stripe does acquiring, like primarily through internet-based, right? So people put their credit card in and they process it. That's the business that Stripe does, right? So they're up 25%. So assuming that their revenue is up 25% too, that's a big assumption, but just doing some back of the envelope math, that'd put them at $17 billion. So here's the deal. They're at, that puts them at a 3.8 times revenue multiple, which I think is very low for this business. It's transactions are growing 25%. It's $17 billion in total revenue ballpark. That's my number, right? But that's a lot. They said they're cash flow positive. A 3.8 times revenue multiple seems very low to me for this type of business. So I want to kick it off to you guys. Maybe, Clint, we can start with you. Like, what are your thoughts on Stripe as a business? Do you think 65 is too low? Is that an interesting kind of entry point for you, or just kind of other general thoughts on the company?
Look, I think it's a great business. Positive cash flow. I love the payment space. I think it's going to continue to grow. They're showing a great growth rate and they're cheap. Right. If you think about a tech company trading at 3.8x revenue, that's pretty cheap on a relative basis when you consider other tech companies that are trading at 10x or more. So yeah, on a relative valuation perspective, I like it. I think the business is great. I'm a bull on Stripe for sure.
Like Nick, what do you think, man? What's your take on Stripe?
Yeah, I believe the last time we spoke, we were pretty bullish here about the Series I being a nice reset price. It's a good foundation, and things are going to be looking up as they continue to grow. And I think leveraging off of all that you said in the news, it's kind of going in the right direction. I mean, it's performing extremely well for the last 6 months and last 3 months especially. So I think that's going to continue to trend. Yeah.
So Nick, I mean, these guys just did a tender round in February last month, right? At $65 billion. So I'd have to imagine IPO for these guys, while the numbers look great, right? Maybe an IPO's next year. I can't see them going this year if they're doing these tender rounds right now.
Right. Yeah. I don't think anybody's in a huge rush to actually pursue the IPO. We're excited to see what's going to happen with Reddit this week. Nobody's had insane success. Just generally, maybe a handful. So I don't think there's a big need to do this, but you do have to afford liquidity with some of these tenders and get through some of that. And it also helps to reprice and build a really strong foundation on that valuation. So if we did a round at 50, then we did a tender at 65.
Smart.
You are setting yourself up for success a year down the road, maybe when you want to pursue that IPO.
Okay. So Clint, maybe last question on Stripe. So you buy it. Let's say you buy this company in the secondary market now, right? They're going to probably go public next year. Is that enough time? Like, if you're trying to enter into a name in the private markets, is 1 year enough time? And or maybe it's specific to the name. Like, what are your thoughts around some of those dynamics?
Yeah, I think it's name specific, industry specific. I think for Stripe, it's enough time because of the way they're priced. But everything comes down to the price growth rate and the value that you're getting at the time, right? So if you're talking about an AI name that's trading, a lot higher relative valuation than a name like this, right? So you're trading in the 20, 30, 40 times revenue. That's a whole different timeline. That extends your timeline to make that investment. It makes it almost impossible to make that investment or because reality, you're kind of counting on the greater fool theory here. I think even though 3.8 is higher than a market multiple for a private company at this growth rate, I think it's enough time.
Right.
And I think that they're pricing it appropriately on the tender. So okay. When you do get a liquidity event, they'll be fine.
Okay, good. That's awesome. Okay, let's shift topics to Telegram. So I don't know who's a Telegram user here. I'm not, but I got a couple buddies who are like diehards Telegram people. You know, they're always one guy in particular is like, you know, everyone's out to get me kind of guy. So he loves Telegram, right? So like so Telegram. So they came out some numbers. 900 million monthly active users. That's up 80% since 2021, right? So they're on track to hit a billion by December of this year. The CEO said they're doing hundreds of millions of dollars, right, from advertising and subscription revenue. They're talking IPO. That's kind of why I brought it up here, because this looks like it might hit the radar screen here in the next year or two. And are you ready for this? $30 billion valuation is what the CEO said that companies, that, you know, VCs are looking to invest into this company. And that's like, this is like news like now. This isn't like from 2021. This is like right now news. So what do you think? Like, Nick, maybe we'll start with you, right, man? $30 billion for Telegram. Like, what do you think?
And it's such a secretive thing. How are you really going to get the best advertising bang for your buck on that? And I think the easiest point of comparison here is going to be something like a Discord. So right. I know you're not talking 2021, but 2021, Discord was valued at like half that, $15 billion, right?
Right.
2022, they're doing just under half a billion of revenue. So like $445 million. So maybe that's what hundreds of millions actually looks like.
Yeah.
And today,
yeah.
You look at the Discord valuation. You're a fraction of it. You're at 6 billion or 6.5 billion based off the private market. So I would definitely say Discord is a much more like value buy than anything that we're hearing here. I think it's just an astronomical sum of money for buying into a subscriber set that maybe is a little bit more diehard. Certainly,
right.
you might be getting more. Folks in media on that, you know, there could be more sketchiness on it as well. So that's a weird both ends of the spectrum.
But
I'm not going to buy into that valuation. I think that's astronomically high relative to some other comps that are out there, public or private.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so to that point, hundreds of millions of dollars is less than a billion. Last I checked, so that means that they're like this is 30x plus. Right. So Clint, like to your point earlier on Stripe, like these guys are 30x plus. That's high. Is that high? Like what do you think? What do you think of this valuation number?
It's astronomical and it's absurd. The fact that they are pricing or claiming that they have a higher valuation than X, which is kind of the leader, you know, outside of Meta, but the leader in this space in terms of building community that really shares and has a duplicate of community to Telegram. If you look at saturation, right, with Elon Musk returning, buying Twitter, turning into X, right, it really, in my opinion, pretty much rendered Telegram and Truth Social obsolete. So I don't care what their users are, right? What did you quote their users? And that was from versus 2021. They're up 80%.
Yeah.
Like how many of those are bots right. and advertising agents? Like this is completely ridiculous. I see it as a declining business going forward. I think that's the reason you're hearing utterances that Donald Trump approached Elon Musk and said, "Will you buy True Social?" Like this is those businesses when Elon Musk stepped to the helm of X and took over Twitter, it was over for the Parlors, the Telegrams, and the True Socials that spun up, really capitalizing on the right. alienation that Twitter did to the. To the conservative right users. So I think it's this is completely sure. ridiculous. And if you're this is based on the greater fool theory.
Well, if they got VCs offering $30 billion, if I was that executive team, I would take that money and get out. Right?
Take it, run, no strings attached.
Liquid, at least for a portion of it, right?
Yeah, if there's, I mean, if that there's
might be, to Clint's
it.
Point, that might be the only exit you got. The only way to put some cash in your pocket that you got, right? But okay, last topic. Let's hit on this one real quick. Okay, TikTok. So like not to talk about TikTok or like jump on like, you know, the China bashing around ByteDance or TikTok. But what I'm interested in your guys' opinion about, is if TikTok, like, so Steve Mnuchin is the former US Treasury Secretary. He's out talking last week about buying TikTok. So guess what? they divest it. It doesn't go away. Like, it's just now owned by a bunch of U.S. people or, you know, non-Chinese investors. I'm sure they moved the data over to the United States, like that kind of stuff, right? Would you buy it? Would you invest? Right? Like, I did some math. So the number came out, they published the revenue number. So TikTok USA does $16 billion in revenue in 2023, right? So if you kind of apply that Meta revenue multiple, they're at like 9.5x right now is the Meta revenue multiple. That's $153 billion valuation, right? Now, ByteDance as a whole has a $268 billion valuation. So one would argue it's getting, TikTok USA is getting depressed value, right? Because it's part of this ByteDance business. ByteDance only has a 2.4x revenue multiple, right? Which I think is low. So maybe Clint, we'll start with you. Like, what do you think about if TikTok was its own business, TikTok USA was its own business as a private company, is that interesting to you?
Yeah, it is. They got a ton of users. The growth is phenomenal. I wouldn't say it's cheap at 9.6, based on your math, 9.6x, but the total company is absolutely cheap at 2.4x revenue. It's trading at less than the market multiple. Like, this is absurd. I've always thought this company was cheap. Kind of a negative connotation or negative valuation based on the China overhang. I see nothing but upside to this business. I think the bill would be a blessing for Mnuchin in order to be able to step in and pick up this company at anywhere close to $150 billion. It's phenomenal. And I never thought that we needed another social media app. But look, you look at the sheer amount of user growth. Other than OpenAI, what rivals it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're dialed in for sure. You're right. Okay, so Nick, so here's the thing, man. This is one of these weird situations where if you're an existing shareholder of ByteDance, it might be better if this happens. Like, it's like valuation unlock, right? If TikTok USA spins out, they might get a higher multiple than this 2.4. Does that make sense? What are your thoughts about just maybe TikTok USA in general as a standalone business?
Sure. No, I think the standalone business kind of does make sense. Like that would be quite brilliant. I think the market is definitely having trouble pricing it because we can see that there's just so much different between where the different funds are marking. So Fidelity was marking it at 233, T. Rowe at 238, and then you've got other players like BlackRock at 163. You know, you could see the delta widening significantly between where the institutional players are actually marking. But I think when you look at these spinoffs, a lot of those spinoffs tend to perform extremely well, or just be their valuations are and become very attractive, and they become very attractive businesses in isolation from the original parent, because you can have greater control over the direction. And actually be a lot more nimble than if it was coupled up with the ByteDance parent. So right. I think there are a lot of victories that can be won just from that component. And then naturally, if you price in the worries that the public have about that ownership component, about constantly landing in Congress or being thought of, I think once you're past that, you get a bit of a victory. That's some wind in your sails to keep that valuation going up. And then all the naysayers and haters are really not having a firm ground to stand on with the anti-China rhetoric or the control of manipulating our youth and so on. We all know this stuff isn't great, but nor is Meta and Instagram and all that. So, right. So I think some of those worries going away would be a boon to the stock for sure as well.
I like this. I like this. And I hope too. I mean, I actually know I have a couple people that I know that work at TikTok USA. And I was like, look, you know, not investment advice, but I would get as much of that TikTok USA stock if they start to offer that as possible. Cause I think this thing's going to go up a lot. I think you're going to get a lot of investors that will show up if this is like a US company now instead of a China company. You're going to get a lot of institutional investors that would show up and invest, right? That wouldn't have before too. So,
but on the secondary market, it's just trading at such a depressed rate relative to a lot of the mutual fund holdings. You know, the mutual fund holdings have spread out significantly, and the volatility between those points is outrageous. But the secondary market has actually maintained extremely steadily between 120 and 140 the last year. You know, it's pretty steady. But I think that also reflects well that the secondary market is pricing in this risk more appropriately than some of the institutions. But you are seeing some of the institutions come lower. So the average of those holders has decreased over the last quarter for sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to probably see this happen. I mean, Clint, maybe like last parting thought, like what's the probability that this actually happens where the government forces them to divest or spin it out, right?
I mean, I think that's less than 50% odds, you know, but the fact that Mnuchin's interested in it makes me, I don't think he's like suddenly lost all his government contacts. It kind of makes me maybe think that, discounting it a little. Yeah, I think I'm discounting it maybe a little too in favor of it not happening. But, you know, it just seems like such a low probability event. It's hard to bet.
I mean, well, to your point, though, I mean, I could see a deal. If I'm ByteDance, man, and I got people wanting to buy this thing, like spend it out, I mean, why not own 49.9% of it and let a bunch of U.S. investor group own 50.1% and all of a sudden it's worth as much as ByteDance is. It's too, you know what I mean? Who knows where it could be? I mean, it's really interesting. It's a really interesting dynamic here. So, okay, fellas, let's end it there.